I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration. Collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next guest is Mourad Zawi, and we talk about his new film, The Forgiven, which was playing at the Toronto International Film Festival this year as a gala presentation, and I was able to get to see it with Elizabeth, my wife, at one of the drive-in presentations, which was a whole lot of fun and fascinating COVID-like experience at the Toronto Film Festival this year, and I'm so looking forward to being back face-to-face next year. Let's hope that that's the case. Mourad was one of my favorite guests this year at the film festival. He's so kind. He's so generous. There's a warmth and a hospitality to him and his demeanor, not only in the film and the character that he plays in The Forgiven, but also in our interview. And I think you're going to really enjoy that about this conversation. This film, The Forgiven, Jessica Chastain, Ralph Fiennes, Christopher Abbott, Matt Smith, just stellar performances from some of these actors, some of my favorite actors actually of all time. And this is a film. It's a parable. It's a fable. And Mourad and I talk a great deal about that and how these types of stories point to greater truths, and they reveal things about the human condition that we sometimes don't unpack, you know, in our daily lives and in our conversations and in the people we meet. And it's one of the things why I find so fascinating about film, and it's this the truth that we find embedded within the story, and sometimes those truths are revealed to us, down the road. So we talk a lot about the incremental change and just coming to a better understanding little by little. We talk about others and about being in another's presence and how we need to acknowledge others. We need to listen. Sometimes we just need to step back and listen. And Mourad talks a great deal about his character in this film, about how idealistic he is and was, and how he was always in a place where he was respecting other people's ideas, and particularly husband and wife played by Jessica Chastain and Ralph Fiennes in this film. And so we see this character leading us through, and I was reminded of Virgil in Dante's Divine Comedy, leading us through this story and bringing us to a better understanding. And we talked a lot about Mourad's history as an actor. He's got a face that you're going to recognize for sure, and you might not remember where you saw it, but I'm so looking forward to you stepping into our interview today. And you know, we talked a lot about access and about the journey as well, as much as we talked about the film The Forgiven. So coming soon, I would imagine, to a theater near you, you're going to want to check it out, The Forgiven, coming right up. Mourad Zawi on Face to Face, and what a pleasure it was to have him. I think this will be the second of many interviews, about 14 interviews I did this year at the Toronto International Film Festival. They're coming up over the next several months. And don't forget davidpecklive.com, facetofacelive.ca. They'll all get you to the same place. You can find out more information about my writing and my speaking, maybe pick up a copy of Real Change is Incremental. But also, you'll see the library of interviews and podcasts that I've been doing over the past, I guess, about 8 years. We're coming up on 600. Sign up for the newsletter. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel if that's where you're listening, or like us there. And wherever you're enjoying podcasts, we would so appreciate a thumbs up or a review. It helps us in a big way. Mediate us if you can. Forward this off to family and friends, and stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe too where you listen to podcasts. That's always super helpful as well. Coming right up, one of my favorite interviews at the Toronto Festival, Toronto International Film Festival this year, about the film The Forgiven with Mourad Zawi, coming right up. Stay tuned.
Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are joined by a very special guest here with us today. I actually don't know where he's calling in from, but we have Mourad Zawi here with us to talk about his new film, The Forgiven. Mourad, thank you for taking the time to hang out with me on Face to Face today. Really, really thrilled that you're here.
I mean, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. And I'm honored to be here. And I am in LA.
You're in LA. Okay, there you go. So, yeah. So is that where you call home?
Yes, for the past 6 years, LA became home. I got here for an audition on July 3rd, 2013. It was supposed to be to audition for the lead for an untitled TV pilot for HBO directed by Steve McQueen. And yeah, that didn't happen, but I was lucky enough to be signed by this management company called Media Talent Group, and I stayed.
And you stayed.
And it's funny, there's a little anecdote that I would love to share with you.
Yeah, please.
So at the time, my manager only repped huge names. So the names were Angelina Jolie, Nicole Kidman, Amber Heard, Kate Beckinsale, Billy Bob, and myself. A few years later, at his birthday, I was like, I know that you don't sign actors and you only have big names. Why did you sign me back then? And he said, yeah, I just said yes to get you off my back. I didn't think that you would say.
I didn't think you'd stay, and now you're there, and you've got a couple dogs and a couple cats too as well. You're
exactly, yeah,
building a big family. Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah, no question. So hey, tell our listeners a little bit. I've been coming to the festival forever, but I've been covering it for about, I guess, about 8 years now, and I'm coming up on 600 published interviews. So, I mean, it's just, wow. it's insane. I mean, I think the first festival I had 35 interviews, and there are shots of me somewhere running through the streets of Toronto from one interview to the next with cables and microphones around my neck. It's been crazy over the years, but I always love it because I get to meet people like you. I get to watch films like The Forgiven and have conversations that are honestly, sometimes I don't know where they're going to go. You know, I think I can say I always have a great time. Mm-hmm. And from what little I know of you and what little I've read and your performance in the film, I get the sense from you, you're a very generous guy. It sounds like you had a great time at TIFF this year.
You're giving me goosebumps by saying that. Thank you so much. So my festival, first of all, I want to start with me in Canada.
Yes.
When I was a child, I had two posters of Newfoundland. So it was one on the top of the other, and it was Newfoundland in the winter and Newfoundland in the summer. It was just written Newfoundland. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know if it was real.
Most of us Canadians don't know if it's real either, just so you know. Yeah. And by the way, I just alienated a portion of my listeners. Yeah.
And for me, that part of the world, it was so beautiful, both in the winter and in the summer. And for a kid like me, from Casablanca, was not used to seeing snow and not used to seeing that much green and that much water. It seemed to me like this like magic land where unicorns lived, and maybe that's where hobbits were coming from. And then I really was Canada, and I always had like this romantic connection with Canada.
That's so cool.
I know.
Now I'm getting goosebumps.
Thank you. So just being in Canada for the first time, in Toronto, and being a TIFF with the movie like The Forgiven was just a cherry on top. For me, just being in Canada was a huge achievement.
So you really just came to see and hang out in the city.
Exactly.
Yeah, you had, the heck with the film, the heck with the festival. Yeah.
Career. That was important. But for me, just being there and being in that country. And
yeah, it's cool.
And yeah, it's a cool thing. It's a great thing.
That's so neat. I love that you saw it as a magic line. You know, many years ago, I've worked in international development. And many years ago, my first big overseas trip on my own was to Kenya.
Okay.
And I was in Nairobi in a town called Eldoret. I was about 4.5-5 weeks. That's pretty young, early 20s. And I remember trying to describe, of course, this is before smartphones and internet and all that. And I remember trying to describe to somebody snow.
Yeah.
And this person spoke great English. I didn't speak Swahili at all. So, we had to speak English. But I remember trying to describe, well, do you know what I mean by ice? Like, if you were to shave ice, that's what snow's like, you know?
And
it's just, anyway, it's cool that that was something that you felt drawn to in a romantic way. I love that. Well, welcome to Canada. Welcome to Toronto.
Thank you, sir.
And I know you're back in LA, but that's really cool. Tell me about the TIFF experience, The Forgiven. It's this huge film. Ralph Fiennes, Jessica Chastain. I mean, the cast, it's Caleb stellar Lander, cast.
Matt Smith, Chris Abbott.
Crazy cast.
The actor who played the father. How good was that guy?
The performances in the film, are just remarkable.
How good was he? And this is, it was our third time working together. And that was the best performance of his that I've ever seen. It was just so good. And I think it would be unfair if that man doesn't get at least an Oscar nomination for that performance. I'm just being biased, but what do you think?
I thought all the performances were excellent. I really did. And what's interesting to me about the film is, and I hope it is noticed at awards time. Yeah,
yes.
I really do. The sort of the dance for me between parable, fable, and reality was really interesting. Like near the end of the film, and I guess we want to be sort of careful we don't give away too much.
But the
transformation in Ralph Fiennes' character is fascinating to me, and it's played so well. And there's these dreamlike moments in the film. And so I wasn't quite, is this meant to be taken as a real world story? You know, what are your thoughts on it? Because your character, Hamid, is fascinating too.
I know. And it's very, very interesting that you say that and you felt that way. Because when I first read the script, I was like, okay, Hamid plays the servant and he says these like all these philosophical and smart lines.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We'll get to some of those.
But who is he?
Yeah. Who is he?
Who is he? And I started researching and I had the help of this amazing screenwriter director who actually directed a short film with Benedict Cumberbatch, and his name is Patrick Victor Monroe. And I sent him the script and I was like, I need help because English is not my first language. And I'm sure that even if I'm fluent, I don't master it as good as I master French, for example. When I read a script in French, I can see like four or five layers or four or five meanings.
Sure.
And it makes sense to me. So in English, I need help with certain things. And I decided to play Hamid as more like an idea or an ideal than a person. So that's why I was like very, very still, very, very philosophical. I felt like Hamid was the audience's anchor when there were like certain things that were not acceptable, that he would speak for the audience and he would always say the right thing, even though that doesn't happen, especially in that part of the world where people are poor and they need those jobs. He's not going to go and speak out against his bosses or the guests of his bosses. And Hamid did. So for me, Hamid was an ideal, was an idea of humanity, of forgiveness, of empathy. I don't know if you felt that, but for me, Hamid was the moral compass of the piece.
I love that you said moral compass. So as I was, it was hard to take notes. I saw the film at the drive-in at Ontario Place and with my wife, and it was great. It was a fun experience. But it didn't hit me till I was going back through my notes. There's that scene, I believe, where you're holding the lantern
Yes.
And for me, that was kind of, this is Hamid's character. He's leading us kind of through the story. Like, it made me think of, I don't know if you've read Dante's Divine Comedy, but, you know, Virgil's the one taking us through the story as we come on these sometimes horrific scenes, right?
Yes.
And I really got that from you. So Moral Compass makes a lot.
Oh my God. You can't imagine how happy I am that I was able to get that message through, even though I was very still, very still. That's
well, what's interesting is the other actor who plays, I guess, you're kind of the head
assistant.
Yeah. His approach wasn't as compassionate as yours, which I thought was really interesting that the two of you, and I think it's a testament to your abilities as actors to show that you were clearly more compassionate. You had your owners and your employers in mind, but you were also concerned about others too. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because I think that's kind of what John, the director, is doing, I think, with this film. I think is positioning us in the audience to say, okay, how would we respond? How are we going to respond? Would we ever go and exploit in the same way that these characters have done? Can you talk a little bit about that, Murad?
Yes, of course. And we're talking about Hamid. And for me, Hamid, he was respecting everyone's differences and flaws and shortcomings.
Yeah, it's good.
And for me, like I said, the reason why I played him not as a person, but more of a concept or an ideal, it's because he was neither on the natives camp nor on the Western visitors camp. I feel like he was the bridge between the two.
Right, right.
Yeah. So when I don't want to say too much, but when my assistant does the thing that he does with the glass, I don't react. Just let him. I'm just like monitoring what goes on. So I let him do his thing. And then when Rafe comes back, the scene between me and Rafe one-on-one with the beer. So even though Hamid is very religious, he brings him the beer.
Well, what I loved is that you clearly were waiting for him. The attention to detail, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
assumption there is just, it's wonderful. It almost we're back to kind of the fable again, right?
Like,
who is this guy?
Who is this guy? So Hamid, he's a fable. And it could be like, it could be like just in everyone's imagination, probably. It's possible that he could be not even real, but he is real, obviously. But it's possible that he was just this like, angel, like the good angel on the right side that does the right things and just monitors and doesn't judge anyone and respects everyone's differences and philosophies and way of life.
I love that you are given the parables. I'm just trying to see if I can open your door to a good day.
Prepare yourself for a bad one.
For a bad one. Come on, help me out here.
The tongue has no bones, but it crushes all the same.
It's so good. The tongue has no bones, but it crushes. Very, very Old Testament, you know? Yes. I couldn't help but think of Proverbs, you know?
Yes, yeah,
And
all the Proverbs. And he also tells, like, a woman without shame, it's like a golden ring in a pig's snout.
In a pig's snout, yeah.
What else? And it was like, little by little, you can enter a camel in a jar.
About couscous.
No, that was a miss.
What's that? Something?
It was not in couscous. So that's a very old and it's a Berber quote saying. So little by little, you can get a whole camel in a little jar. So patience.
So patience, perseverance, focus, intention, all those things come into play. So piece by piece, little by little.
Yeah, little.
That's so good. That's so good. Do you find, how's this? Let's cross over to the real world here. Do you find, you strike me as a very positive person. Do you find those types of sayings, that kind of wisdom, does that like, help? Yeah. Yes. Does it drive you? Does it move you forward?
Yes, of course. So for a kid like me, who was born in Casablanca, Morocco, from not a very wealthy family to think or just dream of one day being able to speak English, live in the US, and being in a Hollywood movie, it's like a kid from, or like you, dreaming about becoming an alien and living in Jupiter. Just being able to get a visa and visit Canada or the US, it's a great achievement. It's not accessible to, it's inaccessible to 80% of Moroccans, actually. And I, the journey has been long, it's been tough. And yeah, and little by little, you enter the camel into the jar.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. it's so good. What was it like working alongside? I mean, these are mega stars, and I've met a few over the years, not many. I've interviewed a few over the years. It can be super intimidating. Did you find that they were generous in return?
Oh my God, yes. So my first 2 or 3 weeks of filming, most of my scenes were both with Matt Smith and Jessica, but mostly Jessica. And she was so generous, so welcoming, so not movie star-like on set. And I think like Jessica is more beautiful on the inside than she's on the outside. Matt Smith, I was freaking out about the scene where I was saying the tongue has no one, but it crushes all the same because I was doing my thing, and then they were arguing and stuff. And I had the illusion that there was only one good way to say a line. And I had to find that way.
Right.
And I saw Matt Smith work, and he would do 5-6 takes, same scene, but 5 or 6 different way of giving the line or of doing the scene. And they were all fabulous. They were all amazing. And I went to him, I was like, oh my God, I just learned something amazing from you. And I did the same thing with that line. I was like, so what do you think? Because I changed basically my style of work. And I started like copying what Matt Smith was doing.
Right.
And Matt Smith also was helpful. And he was giving me like always the right words at all time, because it is intimidating. You don't want to be the guy that's going to screw up in a scene with Jessica Chastain, Matt Smith, and Ralph Fiennes.
Right. It's true. I can imagine. Yeah. You start to fumble your lines, not where you want to go.
Exactly. And the other thing also, I've worked a lot before doing The Forgiven. This is my 73rd role. I've worked with...
You've got an impressive CV, man. I mean, it's... Yeah. And for those of us who are... Or those of you who are listening out there, check out the IMDb profile. Impressive.
I've worked with 2 Oscar-winning directors. I worked with Hugh Hudson, Chariots of Fire, best Oscar of Best Movie in 1984. Colin. She won Best Foreign Film in 2001 for Nowhere in Africa. I did Italian, I did German, I did British, and I even shot a comedy, a Czech comedy in 2011 called Liba Seko Diablo. So I've been around. And I've been struggling when I first came to Hollywood, and it took me 5 years before I booked The Forgiven. And after filming The Forgiven, I realized that was a blessing that it took me that much time before I booked it, because when I first came here, I was kind of spoiled, and being on set was for me just another day at the office. So I think if I had booked this role 4 or 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been as good, because after spending 5 years of auditioning day in and day out, hearing no's, rejection, that made me realize that being on a set was a privilege. It's not another day at the office. Yeah, so I was so dedicated. I was 200% on that movie, on that set, and no distractions, no iPhones, no phones, nothing. The only things I would do when I was my day off, so I would go and run 10 miles in the desert, in the dunes, and study my lines and my character. And I must have read that script, I don't know, like a little bit over 100 times.
Wow.
I would read it all the time, because I don't want to be missing one single beat. Because for me, that was it. That's it. I'm here. I have this huge opportunity, and I have to rise up.
I love your attitude towards it, the dedication and your focus. It's really, really cool, really, really impressive. Can you talk a little bit about, without giving away, I guess, the story, and you mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you might even be contractually obligated to not give away the story. I don't know, but there's something I think really profound about this film and about the story and this let's call it a parable. I'm going to call it a parable. And it's almost a warning, it seems to me. And yet it's also a reminder of where we've been, of all that's kind of, I don't know, wrong about that lack of bridge between the East and the West.
North and South.
North and South.
More like North and South.
What is going on? Why is this so difficult? I mean, the scene, well, there's so many scenes at the end where, is it Anwar? Is that his name? At the end of the film where Ray Fiennes gets out of the Jeep. He gets out of the Jeep and he says to him, "Oh, I didn't even ask you your name."
Yeah.
Like that to me in a nutshell is everything that's wrong with politics, with international development, with our economy. We aren't concerned about one another. And I know that sounds kind of corny in a way, but yes. I think ultimately that is one of the clearly one of the subtexts of this film.
Yes. So here's something that personally in my everyday life bothers me. So in Morocco, we have this thing. Everybody says hello to everyone. If you know someone, you walk by them, you stop, you shake hands, and you say hello. When you leave, you say goodbye. When you arrive to a table to say hello to a friend of yours, if there's like 10 people, you shake everyone's hands and you introduce yourself. I'm not seeing this here. Here, when there's someone that comes and you're like, let's say there's only three people, me, a friend, and another friend that comes and say hello. He will talk to his friend and not even acknowledge my presence. And I never understood that. I was living in a building and there was this neighbor of mine that I kind of liked and we were kind of friendly. And he left without saying goodbye. And I didn't like it. I felt it annoyed. It was like he could have just send me a text.
How hard would it have been to say goodbye?
Exactly. So I don't get it. I don't get it. And that scene, like you said, summarizes of what's wrong with the West, I think.
There's such a, what I love about, and this is one of the reasons why I think Ray Fiennes is one of the greatest actors of all time, but and there's so many, of course, but I have a particular fondness for him and a couple of the roles that he's been in.
He's a master, and I want to add something about Ray.
Yeah, please.
Watching him as a fan, he's, of course, magical. He's a master. But when working with him and when our faces are this close, and when you're able to see what's going on in his eyes with your eyes, it's another level.
Yeah, is it complicated, nuanced? Is that what you were trying to say?
It's complicated. It's nuanced, but at the same time, he's not doing anything.
Mm.
But there was this intensity, this magic that he's able to create, and he can be this mean asshole.
And then
you can see this. And then if you just cut the sound, there is nothing. I mean, you can see the two faces and you're like, okay, it's the same face. What are you talking about? But there is something happening. And
well, at the end, Murad, in that sequence, the compassion and the acknowledgement of his own arrogance was realized when he said, I'm actually getting goosebumps now again. And when he says, I didn't even ask you your name. Like, I'm so sorry, you know, like he didn't have to say that. And there was this beautiful moment between the two of them, you know, there really was. I have no idea. I had no idea at that point what was coming. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know where the story of the film was going, but that was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment.
When he comes out of the car, there was that moment between my character and his character. When he realizes that I cared for him, but the others didn't.
Absolutely. And he couldn't see it. And he couldn't see it, right? He had to go
before.
That's right. That's what I mean. Before. Yeah. He could see it now.
Yeah.
He got it now that you were willing to go the extra mile.
for him. Yeah.
But up until that point, for whatever reason,
we're not enemies. It's not because we're Browns and you're white, but we hate each other. It's not a, I saw a video that was disturbing to me. So this Palestinian man was sitting with his computer in a very, Jewish Orthodox neighborhood in Israel. And he was in his computer. And this little girl comes to him and he started talking to her in Hebrew. And he asked her a question. He was like, so what do you think about Arabs? And she never met one. She only heard stories. And she thought that the Arabs, the others, were not even human. And she started like describing an entity, a being that was not human. And then all of a sudden he was like, do you think that I'm an Arab? And she said, no. The Arabs are monsters. And he said, no, but I am. And she was shocked that he was just another human being like her. And then her dad came and they started the conversation. And I saw this beautiful moment of humanity.
Mm.
Just start a conversation. Just let's talk to one another. Just, we all want the same thing. We all want safety for our children and loved ones and live peacefully and happily. But then again, the politics and all that stuff get involved. And
Matt, you know, Matt, that's a great story, by the way. Matt Smith's character is so interesting because he seems to know, he seems to understand he's in the wrong, and yet he does it anyway. You know, like he has these moments where he, even some of the interaction with you, you know, in your character,
yeah,
he kind of goes, oh, well, yeah, no, I know this is where, oh, well, I like the weather here, kind of. And that's what, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like.
I'm going to have to disagree with you because
yeah, go.
I feel like he, so for example, every time there was a problem, I go to him and there was always like an aparté between me and the character played by Matt Smith. And I know that he understands and he knows and he always like reacts and he knows, but I feel like he doesn't want to like try to educate or rain on his guest parade. Because he knows that they're going to be deaf and not receptive to what he has to say. So basically, he just also let them have fun. But I know better and I'm here to also. So he also, I feel like him and Hamid are pretty similar. We even have a line in common. His name is Driss.
Right. Yes, it's true. Well, that's kind of what I mean. Like he doesn't. He's clearly the white Western middle-aged sort of male who's come to kind of exploit this desert palace to some degree and the locals. And yet he seems to care a little bit.
Yeah.
He cares a lot, maybe.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're right. That's a whole other bit of business that his name is Driss. It's a beautiful moment.
Yeah. And we had that both had that line and And he always like asks him to do the right thing. When he tells Rafe, give him some money. It's just, you're not going to ask. And I said the same thing. So basically, like the same scene when I let my assistant do his thing and I don't judge him and I let him do his thing. So I feel like the character played by Matt Smith does the same thing. He let them also do their thing, and that's
right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Monitors.
Yeah. So if you were describing, I'd love to know a bit about the Q&As you guys were a part of for the film, and what some of the interviews you've had where they've gone. But how do you describe this film to people who know nothing about it? I'd love to know.
So, like you said, I'm gonna just. I think we've said a lot already.
We've said a lot.
But I'm gonna say this. So the movie is this beautiful story of clash of civilizations.
Yep.
Civilizations.
Civilization. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That takes place in this beautiful, beautiful villa in southern Morocco in the Atlas. So And then there was a car accident due to drunk driving involving the couple played by Jessica Chastain and Ralph Fiennes. And that car accident will have a lot of repercussions and reverberations on both the locals and the visitors. But the movie is much more than just that. And I can't wait for the audience to discover it for itself.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. Little by little, piece by piece.
Piece by piece. You can enter camel in a jar.
Yeah, it's so good. What a pleasure having you on today on the show. Murad, tell me what's next for you? Have you got a long list of things?
A long list of things, but the main thing is I have another movie coming out December 1st in Paris, in France, called Burning Casablanca, directed by the amazing, super talented Ismail El-Iraki, who was compared by the president of the Mostra of Venice last year, where we're in competition, to Tarantino. And he is, without trying, that's who he is. And the movie was compared to Sailor and Lula by David Lynch.
Wow.
And I'm playing a character.
Burning Casablanca.
Burning Casablanca. And I'll ask Jane to send you a screener and maybe we can do another interview about that character and about the movie, because it's completely, completely, completely different than who Hamid is.
It's got to be so, we got to wrap up here in a second, but it's got to be so much fun being able to step into these characters and kind of, and then playing this, and then, you know, 6 months later playing that, like complete opposite end of the spectrum. Hey, personal question again.
Yes.
I love your generosity. I love your smile. Do you find playing those kind of challenging characters hard? Do you find that hard to step outside of this, you know?
Yes, not hard to step out of it, no, but what I find, so the mean, evil, dangerous characters, I find that hard to leave, actually. That those characters are kind of hard on my psyche and on my mental health. And I realized that, I thought when actors used to talk about those kind of things, that was a joke. It's like, being actors,
right? It's the big deal.
What's the big deal? And when I found myself for the first time, it was in a Moroccan TV movie, and I was playing this evil killer, and in one of the scenes I was supposed to kill this young boy who was about like 10 or 11 years old, and in the middle of the scene I have a younger brother, and he just reminded me of my baby brother at that age. And I kept doing the scene, but in my head, this dialogue going on, I was like, how can you be feeling these feelings? And I started like blaming myself. And it took me like 2 or 3 weeks to just get the guilt out.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It was this guilt, feeling of guilt that I had inside that was new to me. And now I'm just talking about it.
Now you're talking about, well, listen, I'm glad you do what you do, because I got a, you know, Adam McGoyan, a Canadian director, says, you know, he's got so much time and love and respect for actors. And I think I would say the same. I love storytellers. I think that there is truth, there is humanity, there's relationship to be found in these stories. And thanks for your time today. And I will never forget, the tongue has no bones,
sir. But it crushes all the same.
But it crushes. I will never forget that as long as I live. We've been talking with Murad Zawi about his beautiful new film, The Forgiven. What a pleasure having you on the show today.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
So there you have it, my interview with Murad Zawi, and I think you can get a sense for his passion and his energy as an actor and just as a human being. It really comes through, I think, in the conversation we had. Don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and my speaking. You can find out more about too my podcasting there, face2facelive.ca. We'll get you to the same place. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you do listen. Leave us a review if you get a few moments. It really won't take you long. We'd so appreciate that. That helps in a big way. Also, if you're listening to the podcast on YouTube, please like the channel and give us a thumbs up. We'd so appreciate it. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. We don't send out too many, but it is a way for us to keep you up to date on what we're up to. Coming up on 600 interviews, I'm super excited about some of the conversations I had at TIFF this year. So look for those in the very near future. Thanks again for listening. We will see you soon.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.